Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome everyone back to the Postgame Brocast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, and I am coming to you moments after UCLA's 28-16 win over Colorado. And let me just get this out of the way up front. This is getting ridiculous. UCLA was covering 28-9 with, 3 minutes to go in this game? Then they drive down the field and score a touchdown. They haven't been able to do that all game. They suddenly do it at that point. I'm now 1-6 against the spread on UCLA games this year. That is by far my worst performance. And to have it continue with a game that looked like this is insane to me. UCLA totally dominated this game. It was 28-16. They outgained Colorado, let me get the total stats, 487 to 255 yards. Really, Colorado put together like two good drives, and the rest was just, short field stuff. Defense completely dominated. The only reason this ended up being a somewhat close game is that UCLA had four turnovers, and just so everyone understands, it was a really, really unlucky turnover performance because there were three fumbles in this game, two by UCLA and one by Colorado. Now, normally you would expect fumbles to be recovered about 50-50 each team, so you'd expect a distribution of two or one. All three were recovered by Colorado. So they fumbled once and they recovered their own, and then they recovered both of UCLA's. On top of that, you expect about, I don't know, I think it's like 1-6, 1-5 pass breakups to end up being intercepted. Colorado had one pass breakup and two interceptions. UCLA had seven pass breakups and no interceptions. That is horrific turnover luck. So on top of, you can't predict turnovers, it was also heavily unlucky for UCLA to turn it over four times and Colorado to never turn it over in this game. So there was a lot of weird mitigating stuff that made this game closer than it was. And if that sounds like an explainer for why I once again picked wrong against the spread, ding, 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 you are correct. That is what I am doing here. That out of the way, the actual game, the thing you care about and not the thing I care about, which is my record against the spread. I wasn't too cheesed off with the performance. I thought, the gong show, clown shoes, turnovers aside, UCLA moved the ball really well. I thought the first quarter was a little bit weird. They were really unsuccessful passing the ball, really successful running the ball, and, just run the ball more. And they really did from that point on. I think the distribution was like five passes to five runs at one point. It finished 28-45. So, that worked out about the way it should have. And UCLA was once again really efficient running the ball. TJ Harden got the lion's share in this one. I think Deshaun Foster probably just got sick of Carson Steele fumbling it and thought this would be a nice opportunity to humble him a little bit, which, that's the vagaries of a running back's coach. But I thought TJ Harden played well. There were a couple of just no chance runs where he had to run into a wall of guys, and he was also the one eating some clock at the end. He had a couple of explosive runs. He had one explosive catch towards the end on the final scoring drive for UCLA. I thought he was really good. Carson Steele, I thought, he was good. I mean, it was almost like he got too explosive because I think both of his fumbles came at the end of really long runs. He's got to keep it in his wheelhouse. 10 yards, 12 yards max. Just stop running at that point. Kidding. But he was good too. I mean, the fumbles are, you're not expecting those. You know, that kind of stuff happens. And then Ethan Garbers, you know, he had the first pick. I mean, it was a really, really good play from Travis Hunter. Did Garbers stare him down a little too much? Yeah. Did he miss some throws? Yeah. But I thought by and large, he played a pretty solid game. Once again, I thought it was workmanlike. I thought he distributed the ball pretty well. Started to really develop a connection with Logan Loy in that second half, which I thought was in a large part the difference in the game, because the defense dominated throughout, and we'll get to that in a second. But what made the offense kind of hum a little bit more in the second half was Garbers and that connection with Logan Loya. So that was good to see. And Logan Loya made one of the best catches I've seen from a UCLA player, the one-hander at the sideline where he had to get his left toe down. That was nuts. You won't see too many better catches than that. That was like something that a Stanford receiver does to UCLA circa like 2014. Other than that, I mean, one weird thing was J. Michael Sturdivant not only caught one ball, I didn't see him on the field really for much of the second or third quarters. So I don't know what was going on there. He was back out there, I think, in the fourth, but I'll have to go back and look. I didn't see him out there much. So that's strange, but this was mainly the Logan Loya show. He got 9 targets out of 28 throws. The next two were Kyle Ford and Maliki Mataveo with 4 each, and Logan Loya had 111 receiving yards. I thought the offensive line played relatively well. You know, there were some blips. Gary DeGiorgio had a penalty or had a false start. There were 3 sacks, but I'd have to go back and look. It didn't look like there was anything really that bad going on. But we'll look again. But my initial impression, it was a decent enough performance against what was a relatively weak, Colorado front 7. But yeah, offensively, really it was turnovers. This should have been a 35 plus point scoring performance, but they turned the ball over in some kind of bizarre and avant-garde ways. Colin Schley came in and threw a pick, which again, I mean, not to like bang our drum from the spring, because certainly we get our share of things wrong, but people who are saying, oh, Colin Schley should be the starter, again, I mean, we've seen him throw, I think, like 3 passes this year. This is why he's not the starter. He's got some wheels, he can run that zone read, but asking him to do a bunch in the pass game is it's a recipe for some not so great things. Okay, well, that was the offense, and the offense did enough to win this game, but the defense was why Colorado, I mean, it would have taken even worse luck than this for Colorado to have a chance in hell of winning this game, and that is entirely because of this defense and almost entirely because of this pass rush. This was one of the most dominant pass rush performances I can remember seeing from a UCLA team. No caveats there. I think the final total was something like, all right, so Shedeur Sanders had 43 passing attempts. He finished with 13 rushes. I'm going to guess he ended up being pressured on at least half of his attempts, if not more, at least half of his attempted dropbacks. Yeah, so he was sacked 7 times. So he had 50 dropbacks. Yeah, it must have been at least 25 pressures. Hit constantly, sacked again, like I said, 7 times. Leatu Latu and the Murphys were just extraordinary. The Murphys have just been incredible this year. Grayson Murphy, I thought he played his best game of the year. Gabriel Murphy's been solid all year, but Grayson Murphy really showed up in this one. He had one sequence where he blew up. First, he blew up a run play where he took the pulling left tackle and just pushed him straight back into the quarterback running back exchange, blew up the next play, and then on the third play, I think it was he combined with Latu for a sack. He played an extraordinary game, but Latu was his usual self. He finished with 2 sacks and was super disruptive. Carl Jones spying Shedeur Sanders, and just as a spy generally this year, has been everything we ever thought Carl Jones could be and a little bit more. It's been a lot of fun to watch him really come into his own this year after we've been kind of banging that drum for several years, but you know, performance has been good, but he's taken it to another level this year, and it's been really, really fun to watch. But that group of four, the Murphys, Carl Jones, and Leatu Latu, just they made this game miserable for that Colorado offensive line and for Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders was limping by, I think it was the end of the first quarter. I think I've said extraordinary a few times, but let's say it again, extraordinary pass rush. And then on top of that, 10 tackles for loss. Just really so disruptive. And you saw why it needed to be too. When Colorado could get its like short passing game going, or even some of its long passing game going, you saw kind of what I was telling you about Shedeur Sanders. There isn't a more accurate quarterback in the league when he has a little bit of time to throw. Problem is, he never has any time to throw. Somebody posted it on the board during the game. Might have been my man Bobby Bratwurst. And I think it's true. If you put Shedeur Sanders behind a good offensive line, say put him behind Oregon State's offensive line, I think he'd be the best quarterback in the league, and I'm not sure it would be that close. He's extremely, extremely accurate. Like, just the repeatable accuracy is something you don't often see. To hold him to 217 yards on 43 attempts, like a remarkably inefficient showing for that passing game, that's so much of that is just on the pass rush. Just constantly hitting him, constantly disrupting him, constantly getting into his timing and just making it more and more difficult for him to find receivers downfield. His receivers didn't help him. There was that one where I think he got the grounding on, which I'm with Chris Fowler on. It was kind of BS, but didn't really matter. But nobody worked back to the ball at all. Travis Hunter was like a non-factor in their passing game. UCLA did a really good job on him. But their entire receiving corps, I mean, the only one who got anything going was Weaver, and he's pretty good. But everyone else was basically shut down. As I wrote about in the preview, UCLA was not going to allow this rushing attack to do anything, and it didn't. There was a little bit of Sanders running early, but again, they don't like to run him. And so he wasn't going to do a lot of running, especially after he was limping. So it was kind of what I expected UCLA to do to them offensively. And yeah, Colorado drove a couple of times, but it wasn't going to be consistent. They weren't going to be able to methodically march down the field against this defense and this pass rush, and that's kind of the way it played out. This was the game I thought it was going to be, but for UCLA's turnovers. That was the thing I didn't bake into it as much. And, you know, one thing I'll say is, you know, people say, and I say, turnovers are often kind of just luck. Colorado's made a habit of winning the turnover battle this year, and yes, it could just be luck and small sample size stuff, but the stuff Travis Hunter is doing out there to create interceptions, that's not entirely luck. That guy, somebody wrote on the board this week, and I'm not going to name names, but somebody said, well, he didn't play well against Elik Iamanor against Stanford 2 weeks ago after coming off a liver laceration, so maybe he's not that good of a cornerback. And then you watch this game, and it's like, there's nobody else in college football who's doing what he's doing at cornerback. Like, nobody. That guy's a otherworldly player. Colorado's huge deficiency is they don't have an offensive line. Like, Herb Street made the point on the broadcast, and I think it's true. Not one of those guys can play for you if you want to be a real contender. And I think that's going to be Deion Sanders' big challenge in the offseason because, you know, most of the rest of this offense plays. I mean, like, the receiving core, do they have too many drops? Sure. But they're athletes. They can play. I think the running backs would, to a man, look a lot better if they had a really good offensive line. And obviously what I said about Shedeur Sanders, I think, would be even more true behind a good offensive line. Defensively opportunistic. But again, it's all about that front seven. He's got to work on his line play. For UCLA, now 6-2, these were the two, you know, Stanford and Colorado were the two true cupcakes in this four-game stretch. After this, it's going to be Arizona on the road, and Arizona is currently, let's get an update, currently down 7-3 to Oregon State. Oregon State looks like it's stalled out on the 40 for Arizona. We'll see how that one ends up. Arizona State is currently beating Washington State at home by 11. Again, UCLA broke Washington State. But ASU has looked a lot better since Kenny Dillingham pulled his head out of his butt and began calling offensive plays. So these were the two cupcakes. UCLA did exactly what it should do in these two games. I would not be too deceived by the final score here. This was much more of a blowout than the final score would indicate, as frustrating as the game itself may have been watching it, you know, with all those turnovers. UCLA dominated this one from start to finish, 7-6 at halftime, whatever. The only way this was ever going to be a loss was if UCLA turned it over like 8 times. They only turned it over 4, so they won by 12. And that's more or less all she wrote. All right, we'll be back again later this week with lots of fun stuff about the upcoming Arizona game. Have a good night, everyone.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.